to move to really an element that I has just been developing in my life, and it's called this as I've been really looking at my husband's series as he's been speaking on He Is, the Gospel of John. We're going to stay within that, but I am moving in a way where I'm going to share with you kind of what that's been doing inside of me and how I've been kind of moving through as he's been speaking. So we're staying within that, but I've entitled my message today, Mosaic. And in the Gospel of John, He is the series title. What we've really been looking at is what is Jesus saying and doing within that, and then how does that translate to what we should be saying and doing in our lives? Now, those of you that know me know I am a visual person, so it should be of no surprise to you that as I have been moving through this over the last many weeks, as we as a congregation here in person and online have been studying this, I've been kind of doing this thing where I'm creating a visual regarding the topics that my husband has been speaking on. And so I have been creating kind of this mosaic piece. And in that mosaic piece, I've been looking at, because I also have this part of me that's real self-check and orientation, and I have been looking at, as he speaks, like, hey, does that stone exist within the mosaic of my life? And if it does, to what degree can I honestly say that I am saying and doing based on what I'm seeing Christ saying I should be saying and doing? So I've been evaluating. I have also then been thinking in terms of what does that picture image look like, and I've been playing around with that. But particularly, I've been creating this mosaic, and I have been doing introspection. And it's really, for me, I like to do that because, can I just tell you, I just want to have a mosaic that represents him. And I want to call myself out in ways that I need to call myself out because I just want to reflect. You know, if you've ever seen a mosaic, they reflect light. And I want to the best of my ability, with all my stuff and all the things I need to do differently, I still want to be engaged in real ways with his word that tells me what I should be saying and what I should be doing. Now, I want you to think about your mosaic, all right? Or just picture one. And I want you to think about, and I want you to leave it right here. You ready? It's right here. And I want you to move over here with me because I think there may be some people here in person and online that might say this to me, Rhonda, I can barely see my mosaic. There's so much going on. There's so much happening. It feels obscure. It feels convoluted. I can't even begin to like look at the individual stones. I'm just getting here, whether you're online or in person. I'm just doing my best. And can I just say to you, I get it because I've been there. And it happens to me some days too. But I want to give to you something that I think, and I've shared this before, not in this context, but this is something that God gave to me as kind of a way to pull out of that so that my mosaic, which we've left with yours over here, so that it does shine and I can see it clearly. And let me tell you what I'm talking about. And the next slide identifies. It says the boggy place. And I want you to think about, as your mosaic's over there, if you're in this place where you can barely identify the stones, where it just seems really challenging, really difficult, and you feel bogged down, I'm going to challenge you with a mini history lesson. You ready? And can I just tell you who turned me onto this originally? My son. Elijah loves history. And so he will sit and watch historical elements on TV that are designed for an adult audience. So one day, about a couple months ago, he said, Mom, come here and see this. You got to see this. And so I went over, and you know, I did kind of the obligatory mom thing. Okay. And then I was like, oh, this is really cool. And it was this computer-generated model of how the city of Venice was built hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Venice is built on top of a bog. Okay, don't stay with me, because we're going to take our mosaic in just a minute and the strategies that the Venetians used, and then we're going to intersect it and we're going to go places with it so that our mosaic represents what he says and what he does and how he wants us to talk and what he wants us to do. We good? Yeah. You can do this, because in the overarching ideas, he is Gospel of John. You got a lot going on. Ready? So we're going to go back to the boggy place. in that boggy place, what I began to see is this. And then I really felt like the Spirit just impressed me of how this is a strategy for us to move in the boggy place to get greater clarity to see who He wants us to be. Because we all go through the boggy place. Sometimes in the layers of our life, we can see the mosaic in one layer, but the boggy place is trying to obscure it in another place. So it gets really complex, but I'm going to boil it down. What happened was for the Venetians, before they even knew they were going to be Venetians, okay, the Roman Empire was collapsing. And so what happened is, in order to seek a place where they wouldn't be killed and so forth, because these bands were coming into Italy as it was falling, what we now call Italy, so they ran to this marshy, boggy place. But then they did something amazing, because guess what? It was uninhabitable. It wasn't beautiful. It wasn't desired territory. It was just to help them escape danger. But they did something that we can do. They began to look around and say, what's here that we can utilize to make this place inhabitable? And there were trees. I'm talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, okay? Before the brightly painted buildings were there and the gondolas and all of that. When it was a boggy place that nobody wanted to be in. When it was obscuring anything that looked like future in orientation for them. And as they looked around and saw all these trees, they began with primitive tools, because they couldn't take all their stuff, right? They just found themselves in the boggy place, with primitive tools to begin to take those trees and begin to create these planks and pegs. I'm not talking little ones, I'm talking ginormous. And they began to pound them into the bog in such close proximity that it made platforms, and then they sawed off the top so they could build. And let me tell you how that relates to us. God has, through His Son Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, a mosaic for your life and my life, individually and collectively, to represent His Son. But the boggy place will try and say, just rest here, just let this be okay. And you have to say, no way. I'm not living in this bog. He's got plans for me, and I'm going to seek Him out. And you're going to have to look around about, and you're going to say, what are the resources here in front of me? How can I use those? And then you're going to have to begin to pound some things down into that boggy place, saw off the top, and stand. Because guess what happens when you do that? Just like the Venetians, you get a new purview. You begin to receive inspiration, and your mosaic, which is right here still, right? You with me? You got to be. Right here. That boggy place doesn't define you. It's a catalyst to build. And that's exactly what happened in the place that we now call Venice. That we go, man, that's like a destination. But it didn't just happen. And it's not going to just happen for you or for me. Because we have a real enemy. Those people had bands of people coming in and trying to take away things from the Roman Empire. They were trying to take their lives, etc. Their enemy was real too. But ours, He's coming to do the same things. What is the book? It says, He comes to rob, kill, destroy. Okay? So make the correlation with me today that if you're in that place, and I just did kind of like a time out there, because I want you to understand there are strategies that you can employ. There are ways that you can rise above the boggy place. And while that's a history lesson, I think there's such application for our lives today, because He's got things for us to do. And He has places for us to go. And so I want you again now to go back to the mosaic. And I want you to move with me, and I want to begin to engage with words that Jesus spoke in the Gospel of John. And I want us to do it in a way where now we take our mosaics and we bring them here in whatever condition we find them. You might just be starting a mosaic. You're brand new in Jesus. There might be some stones that you're like, man, Rhonda, my mosaic's messed up. And we need to redo some things. It's okay. Or you might have a mosaic that's really intact and you like the picture. And He's saying, you know, I kind of want to change that picture up a little bit. And there can be all kinds of other descriptions of your mosaic. But I want you to bring it front and center. I want you to remember, because here's the thing, if you're not in the boggy place, it will come. And I want you to remember those strategies, and I want you to bring that. And we're creating in tandem these two pieces. And now we're going to move towards John 5, 19 and 20. Because our mosaic requires us to understand not only what I've just shared, but scripture elements pertaining to this. And so we're going to couple two verses of scripture, and we're going to talk then in specifics about connection and direction. Now, this verse in John 5, 19 and 20, it says this: I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. The Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Now, again, you might be saying, okay, Rhonda, this is Jesus talking. I'm not the Son of God. He's not in this way. How does this pertain to me? I'm not the He is. Ready? Go now with me to John 15, 1 and 4. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Here's what I'm saying. When you are placing stones into the mosaic of your life, my prayer is today that you will begin to remember who He is in the Gospel of John and beyond, because who He is should empower you to live your life in ways that count for the cause of Christ. Because if He does the will of His Father, that's what He's saying, right? In John 5, He says, my Father tells me what to do, and I do it. If that is true, which we know it is, and then we couple it with John 15, where then He speaks to us, and He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, my Father's the master gardener, and if you'll stay connected to me, I will help you place the mosaic stones within your life that make sense and bring about glory and honor to my Father. And so there has to be this coupling and recognition, because then we receive empowerment. And so we get that Jesus could do nothing by himself, right? Good. We understand and internalize and apply that he is this vine and that we are the branches. And if we will remain connected to him, it doesn't matter what bog comes. We will move through it in ways where that can even be a stone that he puts. And you think about something in your life that was bog-like. I got a lot. And I think about how as I did what the Venetians did, but in the spirit realm, and I pounded some things down into the ground, some scripture, some prayer, some worship. Man, a platform was created, and that thing that tried to bog me down became a catalyst for where I am at today. And can I just tell you, Gathering 2021 is a great example of that. Because when we went through the journey of not being able to have children biologically, my eyes were opened to an incredible group of kids that needed help. And I just think that most likely, if I had had biological children, that would have never happened. I mean, I'm just being real. And so even your pain, those stones that you think, how is anything good going to come from this, that you almost have to just like painstakingly like put in, and you think, oh, this is a sad one. He says, let me show you how I'm going to use that. Come on. You got your own stories here in person and at home. You know that if you will move in intentional ways and you will couple your faith with these two verses in particular and you will stay connected to him, he will resource you in ways you never dreamed, and you will produce fruit, the kind that he wants. And can I just say, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but that's okay. Too often we want to say where the stones go. We want to say what the fruit looks like. But what do we go back to in the He Is series, Gospel of John? We're hearing what he says and what he does, so we know what to say and we know what to do, so that the mosaics of our lives are beautiful representations for him. I have had far more opportunities to speak as a result of Heart's Cry and what we are doing in foster care than I would out of other elements that just were easy breezy, nice stone, super shiny. And there are those times. Okay, there are. But I will tell you that. So I'm challenging some of you who are in the bog or who are thinking, how can that stone, maybe you've moved through it, but man, you're just exhausted. I get it. But you're saying, how can that stone ever glisten for the cause of Christ? You go back to John 15. And you connect with Jesus Christ in such real ways, and it will. It will. Because that's what he does. He doesn't even, as I've said so often, waste our pain. And so let's transition to this part of connection, because I believe that it just speaks such life. And let me just say this. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you want your mosaic to shine and represent, then you are going to have to understand that connection to Christ is fundamental. It's not optional. Because we get to choose. I like that phrase. We've used it often. Everyone has as much of Jesus as they want. So if you want a mosaic that is brilliant and amazing, and not for applause, I mean to represent him, because it's going to have some irregular shapes in it. It's going to have some pieces that you're like, what's that one about? It's going to have that. And so I want to talk to you about this connection piece, because it's imperative. It's fundamental. It's not optional. If you want to do your own thing and you're here today or you're online just kind of saying, what's this about? Can I challenge you? Have a little talk with Jesus. Just open up your heart and your life to him. And let him talk to you, because he wants to. And explore that concept of, what does that really mean? He's a vine, we're the branches. Because I believe if you will spend some time there, he will reveal himself to you. And so as we think in terms of our mosaics and this connection piece, I want you to think in terms of your skill bases, gifts, and talents. And I want you to think, as we unpack this, I'm going to really focus on two groups, and I know there's people in between, but I want to go group one. Are people that say, when we talk about skill bases, gifts, and talents, they're like, kind of do this whole doubt thing, like, who, me, what do I have? And I'm not making fun of you, because I can be there, but I don't live there, okay? When God called me to do Heart's Cry stuff, and you guys know my story, people that view may not, and we have some guests here today, so I know they may not as well, so I'm doing a little bit of that backdrop. When God called me to do that, I was like, who, me? Like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I don't even know the acronyms of sitting in these meetings. And I don't enjoy when I start, and some of you know, as I work with the state, I'm not like a person to like sit through a meeting and like say, okay, now we're going to do all this and maybe in 6 months. So I don't know. The state views will be like, But anyway, so here's what I said to them. I will work with you, but leave me alone. Because I can't get bogged down in that. So I will move in ways and partner with you, but I can't be like totally defined by that. And so when I'm looking at this, I go back to a place when God first laid that on my heart and about Heart's Cry and different things. I really was like, who, me? And so I get some of that. And I want to speak to those of you today who feel like, you know, skill bases, gifts, talents, what are we talking about? And then I want to talk to people that are like, I got this, no brainer. You know, I got my Enneagram. I know who I am. I've got all my numbers. I know. And I can do these things. Move over. Let me show you. Now, I want to speak to both groups, because both can be a fail concerning connection when we're talking about John 15, vine, branch. And both can take you into the bog quickly. And you might not even be able to see it. But you'll be messing around with your mosaic in ways that are going to change it. And it's not going to look the way God intended, because the connection is faulty. And so I want to go back to the group that doubts, says who, me, they're uncertain. And like I said, here's the deal. I get into that place sometimes, because here's some things. God does stretch us and grow us. And so I get that. But like I've already said, I visit, I don't stay. Because I say things like, and I go back to 1 Peter 4:10, Lord, use whatever gifts you placed in me, because there's a presupposition in 1 Peter 4:10 that everybody's got gifts. Everybody. Then in Romans 12:4, it says we're one body, many members, and it goes, and it really mirrors this mosaic like we're talking about. And people within the body have all these different skills. So when I'm feeling a little bit uncertain, or I'm feeling that who me syndrome, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to visit here. I'm not going to stay here. If this is really you, God, and you want to do something in the mosaic that's different than what I thought, I want to be obedient, because I want to understand Jesus is that vine. I am the branch. And if you are saying connect in a greater dimension, I want to do that, because I want my mosaic to reflect you. And you know, I'm going to give some homework to some of you who have been living in this place. There's no condemnation, but it's time to get out of the bog. Amen. It's time to see who you are through the eyes of Jesus Christ, and it's time to shore up your connection so that your mosaic reflects him in a world that needs to know him. So here's your homework. You're going to Google some scriptures about connection and gifts, talents, and you're going to begin to write them out. So serious. You're going to get a journal, and you're going to write them out. Then you're going to get sticky notes or your phone, and you're going to put them places where you're going to see them. When I did youth ministry, I would give to students at different times a verse that I thought was for them, and I'd say, now put this wherever you're going to see it, all the time. Because we need to reclaim some of that doubt and some of those things that are happening, and we need to replace it because they were in the bog, okay? And we need to begin to do some things strategically so that we begin to stand in new ways and have a purview of who we are, so we begin to claim the mosaic that he has for our lives. Amen. And so for some of you that live in the place, I mean, you've got like a camp. You're in that place of who, me, I could never, okay? I'm telling you, do some homework and get scripture, because those are the pegs that you're going to pound into the ground that tell you who you are and place value in your life. Replace the faulty thinking that will allow you to stand and see. And I'm doing a lot of repetition here, but it's on purpose, because I want you to get this like I've had to get it, because I want your mosaic to count in the ways that he has already preordained. And let me just give you some examples that really spoke to me as I was preparing about connection. You know, years ago, we went down and partnered with a church on 7 Mile, and we were helping them to redo a building. Dan remembers this vividly. It was a horrible building. It was made of concrete. And some of the men here, you were a part of knocking out concrete walls in the second floor with sledgehammers and having to carry the concrete down. I wasn't a part of that crew. I commend you. I was a part of the crew, the people that said, I don't know what I want to go. I just don't know what I have to offer. Now, there's nothing wrong with not knowing exactly where you fit. There's no condemnation. What the cool thing was for me is seeing people say, I'm not quite sure, but I'd like to go down and I'll just do whatever's there. Awesome. Okay? There was a little bit of the who me. But see, they were visiting, not staying, but yet they were saying, but I'll go and just see. And if there's something I can do, I'll take time off work and I'll come back. Through that, I had a lady who had a lot of bog going on in her life regarding a relationship, okay? And she was one of the people that came to me. She's very artistic. And I said, you know, let's just go down and see. We went down, and when she started walking around, now it's a mess. We're renovating that building. I'm talking, it was just crazy. And then Convoy was dropping stuff off, and we were using the sanctuary as a warehouse. I mean, it was wild. And it was a one-week commitment. And when she walked through the women's restroom, it had been kind of redone, but it was super utilitarian. And she walked through, and she said, Rhonda, here's what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to paint this, and I'm going to write scriptures on the wall, and I'm going to use my artistic, she would never say this, I'll say it, my artistic ability to just give ladies who are in this very difficult place geographically, when they push through those doors, they will experience a respite, God's word, and beauty. And I'm like, you go. And she went in, and she did. And that place, as far as that restroom door, when you push through in that lady's restroom, it was a piece of art when she finished. It was amazing. Other people went down with the same kind of attitude and said, in a good way attitude, and they said, you know what, there's land here, there's a lot of little kids around here. There were houses crumbling behind, okay? So we used the bricks and made paver pathway through a garden, because we had some ladies and gentlemen that said, let's put a beautiful garden in here and the kids, and put stepping stone and pathways. We had companies donate kind of iron work that we could put in there to make a beautiful creation in the middle of a bunch of stuff that was crumbling. And this is what I'm talking. I think we miss at times, if we aren't connected in real ways, opportunities for our lives to create for others beauty and for our mosaic to change in shape and form. And it's just a willingness. I think, for example, I'll go back to gathering. The first gathering that we had in Clarkston, we just were like going. I mean, I felt like this. That's what I'm saying. Like, who me to do this conference and invite? I mean, I just don't know. And so as we went and did, God, but here's my point before I tell the story. When God challenges you to do something outside your comfort zone and you're kind of doing who, me, you want to use wisdom, okay? But I don't think that should hamstring us, because he already knows, right? The future, he's already there. And this came alive to me. At the first gathering, we were doing, this conference, and we were all excited. And once we got there, the reality of some things settled in. One of the realities was we had two medically fragile infants. And I'm talking one with a trach that had to be suctioned every 15 minutes. Now, there aren't a lot of volunteers that are saying, I'm in for that. I mean, because they just don't want to do anything to hurt the child. Another one had a feeding tube. But God was so good in the midst of who me. He had already coupled someone with us that was on our safety team who was an EMT. And let me just explain, because for me, I'm like, oh, great. We've invited this mom who specifically takes in medically fragile children. And now every 15 to 20 minutes, she has to leave that room and suction these kids. She's going to get nothing. And then we just took a big step back, okay? And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, one of our safety team members is an EMT. And he looked at me and he said, because we did kind of this powwow, like, what are we going to do here? We got to do something. And he's like, I got it. Talk to mom. Said, we got this. And for the rest of that conference, she could sit, because that's her life. You understand? And she signs up for it because she has medical background. So she specifically takes those kids. But for us to give her respite. And so do you see two pieces here? If you got that, who me? Don't live there, right? Just visit. And then look for opportunities through that connection to Jesus to explore your skill bases, gifts, and talents, like the lady who painted the restroom. And subsequently, every week after that, the ladies that pushed through there went, oh. Like the people that said, we can do a garden here and use the fallen buildings behind. That's a skill base in itself. That's a little bog building in the bog. And they started to use those fallen bricks and make paths and plant and divide their perennial gardens and bring them down and create this thing of beauty. How about you? If you're in that camp of who me, all I'm asking you to do is to say, Jesus, help me to connect to you, the vine, in a greater dimension so I receive strength and revelation so that I move in a connectivity that is not my own. And I don't lag behind like the mule. And then I want to talk about another aspect here with connection. And I don't run ahead like the horse. There's scripture. It says, don't be like the mule who lags behind. Who, me? Way back here. And don't be like the horse that's way down the track. Find your stride in him. And so I said I'm going to talk about two groups. I spent quite a bit of time there because I think that short circuits people. Regarding this connection, this is pretty practical teaching, but I believe that this is what God gave me for today for us. And so I want to challenge individuals, just like I challenge the who, me. I want to challenge the people with, like, I got this. I am all about people that understand who they are in Christ and want to move forward and have skill bases that are ready to go. We need you. What your homework is, though, is you must understand that in this process of you being comfortable, he may want to do some things differently. So you are going to have to think in terms of, as you are moving, living, having your being, if you're doing what he's saying and acting those ways that he has preordained for your life, what's your reliance on the vine? When I'm in my wheelhouse, my sweet spot, whatever you want to call it, I have to be really careful because I am horse-like. I just get going because I know it. I know how to do it. Does that make sense? I continually, though, monitor myself by giving it back to him. And then I say, am I relying on him to do whatever he wants? And I kind of use a scale of 1 to 10. I'm not kidding. I told you my mosaic. I started this by introspecting my stones. I'm not kidding. So now I'm doing this again by just saying, when I'm in my sweet spot, I'm not beating myself up and taking a bunch of time. I'm just saying, God, this is yours. Now, if there's anything you want to do differently, help my connection to be so strong that I'm getting that. Help my reliance on you. I don't know that it's 10. 10's a big deal. To be an 8 or 9, possibly a 10, okay? And that then there's prayer about it with all these ventures. That, and then I'm not just doing the same thing I've done before. That can be a pattern, too. If you're good at something, you just opt for the things that you're good at, the things that feel good, the things that give you what I would call here, and I wrote it down, recognition and applause. Here's the deal for some of you with really amazing skill bases, gifts, and talents. He's going to want to use them differently. And you're not going to like that because it's not comfortable. And in our mindset, it feels like a lateral. Do you know what a lateral is? Backward movement. Okay? It's going to feel like that. People aren't going to applaud. In fact, what could happen is they could say, why are you doing that? Like, don't you get that that's not, man, that's not a good use of your skills. That's not this, this, this. There will be questions. And if you have gotten used to the applause and recognition, you're going to have a battle there. But that can be your bog. But you fight that battle and you move through it. So your mosaic represents the fruit, which translates to what we're talking about today. The stones with what he wants to do with your life in the array, in the pattern, in the picture that he wants to create. And so let's keep going. Because I said I'm going to speak about direction as well. And that's the second aspect. Because I believe as he speaks to into our lives using John 5, 19 and 20 and John 15, 1 through 4, there's a component about direction too. Because as we're connected, I did connection first. It's intentional. Because if you are not connected, you will not receive the direction. You just won't. It's not going to feel right. It's not going to feel good. And I'm not saying that he does stuff to make us feel uncomfortable. I'm saying that he asks us to do things. Jesus modeled this. If we're talking about the Gospel of John, and he is, Jesus knew he was going to the cross. He knew it was his destiny. And yet he lived a fulfilling life. I'm not saying that we have to, in those ways, feel like we're going towards the cross all the time. There are going to be celebrations. There are going to be days when the sun glistens. Man, when that garden was done down there on 7 Mile, it was like, ooh, I mean, it was amazing. Little kids were running through it. When that bathroom was completed and a couple ladies from the church came to see and they pushed through, it was like, oh my word. I mean, there are those days. So I'm not saying it's like this drag. Okay? Or drudgery. I mean, there's beauty and there's amazing things that happen. But the vine element and the branch must be intact in order to follow direction. Because as I've written down here, bog will try and define us in direction as well. And this is what John 15, 4b says. No branch bears fruit by itself. It must remain. And you know, Jesus models this so well for us, meaning the directional aspect. Skill bases, gifts, and talents, in John 4, 14. And a lot of people that would have been a part of Jesus' life during this time period would have seen this time in his life as a lateral. What do I mean by that? It says in John, go ahead and go to that next slide. It says in John 4, 4, now he had to go through Samaria. I'm going to talk, we're coupling things here. What that means, I think you're already there. His father... Remember when we talked about John 5, 19, 20? What does it say? He's with his father. His father tells him what to do. When you study this verse in the original language, it says that he had to go. And it means it was not optional. He knew what he had to do. Jews did not travel through Samaria. They went around it. Because Samaritans were viewed by them as second-class people. There were things that happened in the Old Testament that I don't have time to go into, where there was a separation, and where the Jews never looked at them again the same, and they considered them inferior in a very major way. And for Jesus to go through Samaria was a breach of protocol. There are going to be times when God asks us to do things in our life that are directional in orientation that people may not understand. I've already said that regarding even connection and how that leads us in places with our skills and our skill bases, our gifts and talents. And here in John, we see, again, I love, because he is modeling what he's not asking us to do anything he hasn't done. He's willing to be misunderstood because his father spoke this into his life. He had to go or he would have been disobedient. And he sought God's will over his own will. And, you know, for you and for me, I wrote just some categories down. They're not exhaustive. Geographically, relationally, educationally, aptitudinal, occupational, financial. We are going to be asked at times, because our connection is so strong, he's then going to change direction. And it doesn't mean it's bad. If we know the story, I put the ellipsis in there because you can see it's a lot of verses. It starts with verse 4 and goes through 39. You know, there's a lady that's at a well that he encounters, that he talks to her and interacts with her and shares with her the truth about her life, which wasn't in very good shape. All right? And he says to her, I receive you as you are. Now, she was blown away that she knew he was a Jew. Like, what are you even doing here? And he began to talk because his father had directed him. Can I just ask you? What's the father directing you to do? And if you say, I don't know, then you just got some homework to do. Because he's got direction for our lives. He's a directional God. He knows us by name. He sees us. And he wants us to have the impact, just like Jesus is modeling here, within our culture. There are people that need divine intersections. There are people that need to hear from you. There are people that need to get to know you, that if you stay on the course you are on, in your comfort zone, in the way you want things to go, controlling the mosaic of your life, you will never meet them. Just straight up. You will never meet them. And so I'm asking you today, not only to evaluate your connection, but then your willingness regarding direction. Because he wants our lives to move just like Jesus' life, in ways that had a ripple effect. Because if you see this verse, as she received from Christ, she went back to her village, her town, and she told these people, come and meet a man who told me everything about myself. The stuff he told her, it wasn't like really good. He told her the mistakes she had made. But he told her, like, I accept you. And it's okay because we can do this differently. And there's a new start for you. If you'll connect to me, I can change the direction of your life. And she was so excited that she went and told her townspeople. And the Bible tells us he ended up staying there several days and sharing, and many believed. Amen. And there's sameness in that for you and for me. I believe that there are people waiting for you and for me if we are open to changing the direction of our life. And you have to decide that. We all do. And it will involve your skills, your gifts, and your talents. And it will at times feel lateral. I'm never going to pretend. But it doesn't mean it's bad. Jesus going through Samaria, his disciples, it said they didn't even ask him. They were like so puzzled. They're like, we're not even going to touch this one. You know, we don't even get this. Read it in the context. It says they didn't even ask because they were just like, okay, here he goes again. You know, here he goes again. He's doing something so unorthodox. We're just going to be like, okay. And I'm not kidding. If you look at it, you'll see that that's kind of what happened. And you know, what's interesting for me is, and I leave you with the story and we're going to close, and I'm going to invite you just to do some introspection regarding your mosaic. Last Saturday, not this one, because obviously I was gathering, the Saturday before I was in Charlotte speaking at a women's conference. And it was a great time, et cetera, et cetera. But one of the most poignant moments for me was a video they showed. And it was a lady by the name of Sherry Montgomery, who is the founder in that area of House of Promise. And as I Googled her and talked, I mean, it's amazing. She has bought this huge old home that's been completely redone, and the inside is amazing, just beautiful. And she is taking in girls who have been sexually abused, trafficked, or misused, and she's helping rewrite the story of their lives through all different means and ways. But when I did some digging, because I didn't get to connect with her, I have her info, I'm going to contact her, there was just too much going on. And so I didn't get to connect with her, she was in another part of the room, etc., but I saw the video when they played it at the conference. And as I talked to some people, they said, she's got such an interesting story. And to me, she really kind of capsulizes what we're talking about regarding connection and direction with these two verses in John and who he is. She is a part of the Pollock family. If you don't know that name, think glass. Have you heard that before? Very heavily involved with the automotive industry and with all kinds of build projects here in the Michigan area. They've been around for, I think, since the 40s. And she had gone to teach, and some things didn't work out there, so she came into the family business and worked her way up the ranks, and then she eventually bought the company. Okay? And so let me just say, She's large. That's like large and in charge. Because they're a major distributor. Google them if you don't know. Just I did the other day. I'm like, whoo. And what happened was due to her connection, God changed her direction. And she sold that company. And she started this ministry. And I just got to, you know, I look at stuff like that and I'm like, that's amazing. Because you know what? When she stepped into the business world, people knew. I mean, if you own a company like that and you're the major contractor with the automotive industry around here, we know what that means in Detroit. We know what that looks like. And then other elements with glass and the production of. And now she steps in ways that are so different. And the mosaic of her life is taking shape and form that look completely different. And I just thought, as I heard her story, I'm like, God, let me be like that in a greater dimension. Because let me just tell you, that on paper, you want to talk about a lateral? That looks like a lateral to so many people. But yet in God's economy, it looks like a mosaic that has changed in shape and will have a ripple effect. They have girls in that house already, and they use some of their testimonies. They have their faces, you know, blocked out, but they were sitting and talking, and the girls were telling their story for the first time to have a family, first time to cook a meal together in a kitchen, first time to go to sleep without thinking someone's gonna, okay? First time for healthy things to start happening so that they can find out what it means to be whole and to be a person who has value and worth. Well, Sherry Montgomery completely, what we call, sold the farm, burned the boats, whatever terminology you want to use. She did so for the greater good of what God was calling her to do. And I just can't even wait to see what God's going to do with that, right? And you know what? I feel the same about you and me. Because not everyone's called to run a glass company, sell it, leverage the profits to create this. I get it. But we're all called to do something. Amen. You know, we use that line with Heart's Cry. What's your something? And I share that today within the mosaic of our lives as the worship team comes. Because my prayer for each of us is this. That we would be connected and directed by the person of Jesus who hears from his Father, right? And that three takeaways would happen for us today. And I know this has been more of a teacher thing. Sometimes I preach, this is a teacher deal. I get it. But here's what I have to say. It spoke to me, so I'm speaking to you. What I'd like your takeaways to be today are this. A greater understanding of John 5, 19 and 20. Coupled with John 15, 1 and 4. I'm saying it again. The mosaic of your life, if you want it to represent the person of Jesus Christ, requires a coupling of those verses. And you must be connected and directed. The second piece is this. You must be willing to identify and navigate bog. And you must go Venetian. You must employ those strategies. And I'm going to say this to people under the age of 25, especially students. As I've interacted and done some talking with different students, different elements of people under 25, can I just tell you guys, there's a lot over here. Make sure you go Venetian in the bog of all that's happened over the last 18 months. Because he's got a plan for you. This doesn't have to define you. He's for you. And we need your mosaics. Do you hear me? I know, you're like so uncomfortable, Rhonda. It's okay. I live in the uncomfortable. I was an eighth grade teacher. It's all good. And now but we need your mosaics. And there's no pressure. That's not pressure. That's me telling you, you're valuable and you're important. And he's got a plan for you. And if you'll take a look around you, and you'll look at the resources, and you'll drive some tent stakes in that are spiritual in orientation, you will stand and build after I'm gone. And after a lot of people here are gone. We need you. You're awesome. And we love you. And for all of us, to identify and navigate that bog, it's imperative. And last, let us just commit that our mosaics, individually and collectively, will show and tell. Remember that when you were little? Show and tell? Mm-hmm. And you were so excited? Let's be that excited, childlike faith, to show and tell so that the world will see He is as we say and do what He's asked us to say and do. Amen? Amen. I want you to stand with me. And I've asked Pastor Brad and the team to lead, and it's the song about building. I will build my life. And I'm going to ask you, you know, we all have different comfort levels of how we feel led to express what He's saying and doing in our lives. But if you're here today, it's okay. We've got some medics in the house.
I'm fine.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. It's all right. Someone just, they tripped. Okay. All right. You okay? Okay. Thank you. All right. As we close today, I want you to think in terms of your mosaic and how you're building your life. Because it's crucial. I've spoken to the under 25, but can I just tell you, meaning just a minute ago, direct, it's for all of us. There are people that need us. And so if you feel led to kind of move out and stand, if you want to stay in your seat, whatever you want to do, I'm just asking you to take a minute. Just check your connectivity. Because it's imperative for where He wants to take your life, and it starts there. No condemnation. Just an ask. So that He is in our lives the way He desires to be.